I was like, no.
Welcome to episode 9 of Poddigious, your weekly critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon multiverse. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
Yo.
And Asher Soffman.
Hey.
This week we're covering the introduction of the Dark Masters, so here's a quick recap. We pick up directly after the kids defeat Venom Myotismon and return to the digital world.
In episode 40, Enter the Dark Masters, the kids find that a sea serpent, puppet, missile launcher, and clown have been playing Twister with the digital world. Miyu reunites with Chumon until the clown stabs him to death. The kids reunite with Pixiemon, who gives them cryptic advice before sacrificing himself to let them escape.
In episode 41, seasick and tired, Shellmon learns to talk, but the kids easily shut him up. Scorpiomon ships Mimi and Joe, which backfires when they save the others. Dude bro Metal Seedramon kicks Scorpiomon out of his frat, and the kids try to escape a sea serpent by stranding themselves at sea.
In episode 42, under pressure, Waymon hides the kids at the bottom of the sea. The kids complain that pressure. The kids are surprised to learn that a thin serpent can fit through a narrow cave better than a giant whale, and Tai starts so they can fight Metal Seedramon.
In episode 43, Playing Games, Metal Seedramon kills Waymon before War Greymon rips him apart. The kids enter the Forest Zone, and TK is forced to play games with a psychopathic puppet. The rest of the kids are excited to try Kiwi Fruit, but are disappointed when Kiwimon is a bird instead. TK returns to the group on his own, and Matt sneaks away to be emo.
In episode 44, Trash Day, Matt talks to a tree while the others are occupied defeating the trashiest Digimon ever. After looking into a magic lake, Matt decides he needs to fight Tai and returns to challenge him to duel.
In episode 45, The Ultimate Clash, War Greymon and Metal Garurumon fight while Matt and Tai roll in the dirt. Kari interrupts the fight possessed by something to dump exhibition on the kids and unanswered questions on us. Matt decides to go off alone and Mimi and Joe elope. Dark Masters is such a weird assortment of Digimon, or of designs, of ideas.
Yeah, are they supposed to be, I mean, Metal Seedramon was implied to be an element of water, and I'm like, what do the other ones correspond to on Spiral Mountain? I don't understand.
I mean, the regions of the mountain are water, forest, city, and wasteland, I think, is Piedmon's?
I think so. I know Puppetmon has the forest, because he's wood, and Machinedramon has the city, because he's a machine. I don't know what clowns have to do with
wastelands. Yeah.
Also, like, I mean, city and machine don't really necessarily go, I guess, a little bit. Cities,
more
I think,
than,
are people.
More than cities and woods. The machines and woods, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very much cities are always seen as more technologically advanced than, like, rural areas, so...
I guess so.
It's used in fiction as a stereotype, like with cyborgs and Blade Runner, I don't know, stuff like that.
So the elements are... The areas I accept more than the designs, which are just so eclectic, like serpent, puppet, robot, and clown. Like, usually when they're groups of Digimon, they're based around some kind of theme. And this is just... I don't even know what.
They're all megas!
I get, yeah. It's not much of a theme. I wonder if they're like rejected, not rejected designs because they were chosen, but I mean, it's a weird collection of designs. I also thought the way that they introduced this like group of four new Digimon with not that much time left in the season. Well, the fact just having a group of these villains, I guess, reminded me a lot of Shonen anime with like, here's this lineup you have to defeat. And the way it's so close to the end reminded me of actually like Harry Potter. So spoilers for Harry Potter, for the seventh book of Harry Potter and the sixth book of Harry Potter.
You haven't read Harry Potter by now, you just get out.
You know, I never actually read the sixth book. I read the seventh one, though.
Really?
I read, like, the first chapter, four of the sixth book, and then I was like, I can't do this.
So it reminded me of how at the end of the sixth book and beginning of the seventh book, there's only one more book left, and I think there are 5 out of 7 Horcruxes left that they have to destroy. And it's like, how are they going to do that? Like, I remember my impression reading was like, they spent an entire book destroying one of them, and they have to destroy 5 of them in one book? Like, that's not possible. There's no way they can win. And that's the impression I got about this look, like, now. Well, I mean, it's weird, because as a kid, I didn't know it was only going to be 54 episodes, so you don't really know that it's going to end soon. And as an adult, I knew that I knew that there were, like, 2 episodes for Metal Seedramon, 5, like, I knew how many episodes were for each one, so I wasn't, I don't know, it just seems like the layout reminds me of that.
I never worried about their ability to take on the Dark Masters, because, like, as a kid, I was like, alright, the good guys are always going to win.
Yeah, and their logic is, we defeated Myotismon, we can do anything.
Yeah, which turns out to be false, but...
yeah.
Oh.
But this arc is just so depressing.
The arc is so strange. I mean, I don't want to ask questions because I wanted them to be in the unanswered questions part, but like...
It does leave a lot unsaid.
Yes. Where were these people for the first 40 episodes? Because it's implied that they were there. They were just chilling.
Yeah. They were just...
They were like... Let's see if Devimon can take care of them. And Myotismon, let's just see.
Right? Also, Myotismon is way scarier than any of them. Actually, I don't know if that's true. Piedmon's actually pretty scary.
I think I'll get into this later, but I find these guys, I don't find Metal Siegemon or Machinemon scary, but I think Puppetmon and Piedmon are both scary.
Puppetmon is creepy for other reasons to me.
Right,
now.
That's the thing. Like, he's not scary, like, he's gonna kill you. He's like, this
but
is just really creepy.
No, but he is, like, scary because he's gonna kill you.
He is gonna kill you. Yeah, but, like, I think Puppetmon disturbs me more now because I wonder how he came about. Like, what is he?
But I mean, but both of them are this weird, they're both, I mean, Puppetmon is a child, and Piedmon is a, related to children, at least, like, clowns, you associate with children, and I find them more threatening because of that.
You also associate, well, maybe not you, I also associate clowns with every, like, most scary episode of a television show ever. Like, if you're watching a police procedural of some sort, if there's a clown episode, that episode's gonna be bad, like, in a terrifying way.
Yeah, that's one thing that, like, the clown thing, it's not very original. But I mean, Paimon isn't really a traditional clown. He doesn't really do clown things.
Sure he does. He has a circus.
We haven't seen enough of Piedmon to make his judgment.
Yeah, we only have one episode.
And he does his, like, throwing knives trick that's from the circus.
Right, but that's not what you associate. Like, what I think of as a terrifying clown is the kind of clown that, like, scares kids at birthday parties.
Those are the types of clowns that aren't supposed to be scary.
But I'm saying, like, the thing that I think the cultural image of a scary clown is, like, the kind of clown that scares kids at birthday parties, but then, like, given the ability to murder.
You don't think Piedmon looks like that?
No. Let me look at him now.
I think there's just a feeling that all clowns look scary, but some people are, like, actually super terrified of them, and other people are like, yeah, they just look weird.
I mean, I used to like clowns.
Aren't you cool?
Well, what I'm trying to say is Piedmon isn't so much... He's very abstracted away from a real-life clown with, like, the big frizzy hair and, you know, like, he's more of a Digimon.
Oh, I think he's a circus clown.
Yeah.
Like what
okay.
Ash
yeah.
is
yeah.
saying.
Yeah. I also don't think... I mean, Piedmon looks human. Piedmon is the most human Digimon we've seen so far, I think. Human-looking.
I mean, there's Angemon.
Angels.
You can't see their faces, though. Well, I guess you can't really...
You can't really see Piedmon's face.
I mean, Myotismon. Myotismon is a dude.
Yeah.
He doesn't look human. He has purple lips.
He has clam proportions.
That too. I mean, so does Piedmon, although not quite as badly.
Not as bad, yeah. My biggest questions are, where were these people for 40 episodes? Also, how do Digimon without partners digivolve into Megas? Because they even say at some point in this arc...
I think it's a process of maturity over time. The Digimon learn faster because they have people to learn from. And everything in the digital world comes from data, right? And that data was originally, at least, generated by human beings. So maybe there's something to that, that the digi world is dependent on the real world in some form, in a way other worlds might not be.
But then how come Mega Digimon never get tired and de-digivolve?
Because they got that way from actually growing, while the kids Digimon, it's like a burst of information from the kids.
How come they said one of the whatever Genii is people was like... I guess maybe Kari, possessed Kari might have said this.
Uh-huh.
He was like, you could never digivolve without your human partners, so why couldn't they just grow regularly? Are they special?
Right, so the interpretation I had was just that there's a difference between burst digivolution, I mean, that's actually a different term, that's a technical term in Savers, but anyway, the ability to digivolve, like a spontaneous reaction, and then, and doing it naturally over time, and yeah, it does seem like, why do these Mega Digimon need the ability, like, so the sense I got was that the power that these Dark Masters wanted out of the kids was the ability to on-demand digivolve, and as opposed to, like, doing it over time and naturally. I mean, none of that is actually explained, that this is how Mega Digimon come to be by digivolving naturally over time. That's how I justified it.
That makes sense. Also, you can see it with the Digimon themselves. They digivolve by themselves from baby to in training, and Gatomon gets all the way to champion by herself.
We don't actually see that, though. We only see that with Gatomon, I think.
We saw them turn from baby to in training in the flashback with possessed Kari.
Okay, that's true.
And they said they were waiting for years.
Mm-hmm.
And even now that Gatomon has a partner, she keeps her higher forms longer and more easily than the, I guess, more babyish Digimon do. And we know that's because they're all the same age, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's because Gatomon had to grow up faster. So I think it's a maturity thing.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the names of the, whatever they're called, the levels in Japanese indicate that it was meant to be like an age-related thing.
Yeah.
What is it? It's baby two.
Baby two, child, adult, perfect. I don't know what Mega is.
Mega is ultimate. I mean, I don't know. I'm actually kind of curious how these, but I'm curious how these I'm curious how we came to the canonical translation of those. Because, I mean, like, up to adult, you know, that's, I assume that the words don't have that many other meanings, but, like, the words for perfect and ultimate, I would assume, would have many different translations, and I'm curious how we all agreed to say perfect and ultimate.
I don't understand the question.
So in English, we have rookie is child in Japanese, which is seichoki. Champion in English is seijukuki, which is adult. And ultimate in English is kanzentai. Kanzen is a word which means perfection or completeness. So what I'm saying is, why don't we say the Japanese term for ultimate is complete instead of perfect? And why is it perfect? You know, like, there's no canonical translation of these until the recent DVDs that have had subs, or Netflix subs, or whatever.
Are you sure? Was the original Digimon VPET, what were the translations for that?
I don't know.
It might come from there. It might come from there. I don't remember. As what, 12 years? Oh, no, that was like 15 years ago? Yeah, something like that.
According to this Wikipedia page, I don't know how much I trust it. It says it's fresh in training, rookie, champion, ultimate.
Oh, yeah, that's the English titles.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, from the VPET. You're right. That's what they use in the show, too, I think.
Right.
Oh, they don't use fresh. I don't think I've ever heard them call a baby Digimon fresh.
Really? I thought that was the official thing.
It's the official thing, but I don't think in the show they ever used it.
Oh, I guess so.
Fresh fruit.
But yeah, it just seems especially weird because. Like, so that's the thing, like, so the term for Mega in Japanese is Kyokyokutai, which means ultimate, extreme, final, or eventual. So, like, why didn't we agree on complete and final? Like, that would be, I think, more clear than...
That sounds creepy.
Why?
Complete sounds like a task or something inanimate that you've finished assembling, while final sounds like death. Like, final destination.
It seems weird to go from perfect to ultimate. Like, ultimate seems like a regression from perfect.
No, it's the ultimate perfection.
It could have been ultimate perfect. I mean...
You don't... Okay.
Anyway, I thought we went down a rabbit hole. I want to talk about Spiral Mountain. Spiral Mountain, I don't think it makes any sense.
Nothing in the digital world makes sense.
At least geographically, things made sense until now. I mean, it's just so... It's an iconic visual, so I'm giving it some slack. But, like, in the beginning, they're standing somewhere where they can look up and see the mountain. And yet they say everything has been reformed into the mountain. So where are they standing? Like, is there a base? How much is there still to the base? And then, like, they just don't... They talk about how they need to climb the mountain, but gravity is weird. So it's not actually climbing or anything. You know, they're just walking in areas that are up a mountain, and they never show them, like, you know, if they're on this base and then have to go to, like, couldn't they show them, like, walking? Like, I feel like they're really cool things, like iconic visual from Inception where she's, like, bending the dream world over, and it's like, you know, you could do something with that where, like, they start walking to the edge and they start walking up and it's sideways, and, like, that would look cool and be weird. Instead, they just skip over everything.
The only thing I remember them saying is that they were like, wait, we've been here before. We've gone around in a circle. And I'm like, how could you have gone around in a circle if you left the digital world and went to the real world and then came back to the same place that you were before? Seems to make sense.
That's the point?
That's not a circle.
Because... No, and also, like, the reason they were there before is because the Dark Masters mixed everything up. I don't stand. I felt maybe they came full circle, like metaphorically, but that's
Tai did not literally mean we have gone in the shape of a circle. He meant we have not made any progress since the beginning of the show. I think you guys are taking it way too literally. He meant it metaphorically.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, they did with their personalities anyway in these episodes.
This arc also had a lot of, the Puppetmon half of it had a lot of minion fights that I found really boring, especially with like Kiwimon and Garbagemon. And
I didn't find them so much boring as also nonsensical. Like, did they really think those Digimon were going to take down the Digidestin?
Right. And also, like, they seem so, I don't know, it's like they struggle to fight them. Like, the Garbagemon are like, should not have been that much of a threat. But they, you know, fill up so much time by like, let's try to defeat them as champion. Oh no, we can't defeat them. We need to Digivolve again. It's like, why didn't you just do that from the start? Like, come on, Jesus.
Yeah, and they make it into a funny thing of like, Mimi so afraid of them, then Lilymon has to do stupid things. And like,
yeah, it's just, I found the Divermon interesting because it wasn't so much about fighting the Divermon, it was about them being the eyes for Metal Seijumon. And Scorpiomon, yeah. I don't know if Scorpiomon was interesting in and of himself, but he was able to paralyze them all, so that's an interesting ability. But it's just, I feel like we haven't really gotten this scenario before where we have clear big villains and they're in proximity of the kids, and yet they send minions after them instead. And it's like, minion, it's not really minion of the week, but it's like, okay, so what, let's compare it to Bleach again, because I for some reason comparing the show to Bleach now.
Some of us haven't watched Bleach.
Some of us are lame, that's why.
I think it's what I'm referring to will be generic enough shonen. Okay, so in Bleach there are like rotations of groups of bad guys. Like, it'll be like, there are these seven things we need to defeat, and we defeat all them, and there's seven new things or 13 new things or whatever. And even when there are fights between people who aren't like the biggest, strongest guys present, it's always like, it's always a struggle. It's always like, pushes the person to the limit somehow. And these fights never did that. It was just, we need to get through these guys, but we're going to artificially handicap ourselves at first. I mean, it made sense in the very beginning when they're trying to test out whether they've gotten stronger. That made sense. But throughout the rest of it, it was frustrating.
I mean, it's also the bad guys are also limiting themselves, because this is the first time that we've seen groups of bad guys that are of equal power. They're all mega, and they just don't attack together. And I'm like, well, you're wasting your teamwork abilities here. And they use a bunch of crappy Digimon to try to defeat the Digidestin. I'm like, really? If all four of you just, you know, I know Pixiemon, like, thwarted you once, but if you came back and attack them all again, you'd probably win. So silly.
Yeah, and there's interesting stuff they could explore with, you know, maybe if they all attack at once, they trip over themselves and they start hurting each other, and then they get into infighting, and that's above the budget of the show to actually animate things together. Like, ugh, so even in the War Game on a Metal Gurumon fight, I don't think they ever once show them in the same frame. It's just,
yeah,
it's just like Metal Gurumon's attacks, and then it pans, and then it shows WarGreymon getting hit or something. Probably not even getting hit, it just like shows both of them attacking, and then it shows like there's like an explosion when the two attacks meet or something. It's like so...
The only time I can think of them both being in the same frame, it was really bad. I don't think it was during that fight. It was sometime where they both digivolved, and they're like behind Matt and Tai, and then it like they come into the forefront, but it's so poorly animated, it was so laughable.
I mean, I've noticed these things with how they shoot, like how they what they show in frames from taking screenshots for the images for the show. And, you know, oftentimes I'll be like, there's an iconic fight in this episode. Let me get a screenshot of these two Digimon fighting. And it's so weird how often that doesn't actually ever happen. And especially with WarGreymon and MelGurumon, I felt like that's the kind of fight that... not really fan service, not the word I'm looking for, but like wish fulfillment, in the same way that a lot of stories about the Avengers, apparently I haven't really seen any of them aside from the recent movie, are very much like, what if these two guys fought each other? Like they need to have some contrived way of having the good guys fight each other, just to be like, wouldn't it be cool if Iron Man fought Captain America? OMG. And I feel like the way they do it in this show is just by copy and pasting the attack animations and just like in such a way that like it's clear they're attacking each other, but they don't actually show them doing any dynamic. They're just doing the attack animations at each other. Like,
so funny. Digimon.
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 Digimon. Digimon. So, it was only five times Digimon. Digimon.
Oh my god.
That was the best part of episode 40.
I really liked how Chumon introduced the world in this arc.
I did too.
There's so much that's not explained, but I feel like that was a really good example of showing instead of telling. By, I mean, they did tell as well, but...
So I'll say.
I mean, they did tell as well, but I feel like just the idea of, like, the first person they meet, or the first Digimon they meet, is a part of a pair, and his other half is gone, is so much, you know, like, you could have someone going on and on about how terrible the regime is, and, like, how terrible things have gotten, and they did do a little bit of that, but I mean, okay, so I guess it wasn't showing instead of telling, it was showing in addition to telling.
Mm-hmm. I think it was mostly telling, but in a way that made sense.
I just like Chumon.
I don't like Chumon, but...
it was telling in a way that was, like, believable that there would be this Digimon that they met before that they meet along the way again, and then he explains what happened.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but I'm just thinking from a perspective of who do they use to give that exposition, and who do they use to, like, ground them in this world when they come back? Using someone who is always tied up with another Digimon feels like that was a really smart choice. You know, like, just the fact that he doesn't have his partner anymore shows how harsh the world is. In a way that, like, no amount of exposition about how terrible the world is could really get that same emotion across.
One of your favorite moments?
Not really. There's also in this arc the weird scene shuffling.
Weird scene shuffling?
I think it starts in the beginning, the first episode of this arc. In the Japanese, Pixiemon dies, like, Pixiemon's whole arc concludes at the end of the first episode. Whereas in, they removed his death, where they make it apparent that he loses to the Dark Masters. They move that in the dub to the beginning of the next episode to create, like, a cliffhanger where it's like, what's going to happen to Pixiemon? Mm-hmm. Which I guess is kind of cool, actually, because in the past I've done that before, especially with, like, the Lilymon and Myotismon fight. It just kind of stopped in the middle of their fight. But you're like, well, of course she's not going to die. So it's kind of cool they did that and then let the character die. But so after that, so the next episode is the one with the first one with Metal Seijimon with Scorpiomon. And at the end of that episode, in the Japanese, that's when Waymon appears. But in the dub, it cuts before Waymon appears, and it's just them floating in the ocean. And I feel like that was also really well done, because it's like, the kids are just floating in the ocean, they're about to get attacked by Metal Seijimon, I really don't know what's going to happen, unless you know Waymon's coming. And then in the next episode, in the Japanese, it ends with Waymon's death and Metal Seijimon's death, but in the dub, they move that to the next episode. So it's kind of weird in the dub, because then in Puppetmon's first episode, it also has Waymon's death and Metal Seijimon's death. Just kind of weird to, like, have them wrapped up so quickly in the beginning, and then move on from that really quickly. But so that's the one of those three shuffles that I don't like too much, because I feel like that made more sense to be in the, like, the episode about Waymon, having Waymon die at the end made more sense than, like, pushing it off to the beginning of the next episode. But yeah, did you guys, like, notice any of that?
I feel like I missed Waymon's death.
You missed it?
Like, the first time, and I didn't know he died until the next episode. Like, I got really confused.
Well, he doesn't. He dies at the beginning of the next episode.
Oh, he does. Okay. I didn't even see him get hit or anything. I was like, where did Waymon go?
He does get hit. It is pretty quick how he gets hit. But then, like, there's a scene where he, like, disintegrates away after talking.
Okay, I saw that one. But the last time I saw him, he was doing fine. Then all of a sudden, he was dead. And I was like, what just happened?
Oh, yeah, there is a shot where it's like, I don't think I understood how it happened, really. I think I watched it multiple times to be like, I still don't really get it, but okay. But there was a shot where it was like, he suddenly had a hole through him, and you were like, okay.
I'm pretty sure, like, Metal Seijimon just, like, turns and attacks him really quickly, and it's really abrupt. But I wouldn't be surprised if the dub cut it to make it less violent, which then made it more jarring. But I kind of like how abrupt it was. It was just kind of, my recollection of it was that they're fighting Metal Seijimon, they're, like, not making any progress. And then he just turns and is like, boom, I killed your friend. That's my recollection of it. Which is, I mean, that's kind of how Myotismon killed Wizardmon. It was like, Angemon finally, like, made progress by, like, hurting Myotismon. And then he's like, boom, I'm going to kill Kari. And then Myotismon dies instead.
Yeah, but Wizardmon at least had a moment where you're like, okay, he's definitely been hit. He had several moments as slowly fell with that dumb look on his face. Flabbergasted. How could this happen to me?
I thought the way it was supposed to happen with Waymon in Japanese was that he pushes War Greymon out of the way, then gets hit himself, and then War Greymon is so enraged that he kills Metal Seijimon.
Oh, really?
But, like, I don't... That sequence of events is, like, does that happen in English? I don't think so. I think it's just...
How do you... Did you, like, read that that's what happens or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. This arc was also, I thought, maybe not more punny, but I think it had better puns.
Don't don't know about that. I think I was so distracted by the weird writing choices in character motivation that I wasn't paying as much attention to the puns.
Oh. The thing that I tried to notice was that there, you know, like, are two episodes full of water-based Digimon, and then three episodes filled with forest or tree-based Digimon. And so it was, I feel like they got the opportunity to be like, let's put all of our wood or tree-based puns in these episodes, and let's put all of our water-based puns in these episodes. And I don't know if it'll continue through the rest of the season, but I don't know. I think it was a byproduct of focusing on particular types of Digimon.
I think it's also, this arc is darker, I think, than the rest of the series, and I found the joking a lot more jarring, so maybe it also stood out more.
Yeah, that too. Although I feel like it tries to be darker. I don't know how much it succeeds.
What do you mean? Did you not hear Matt's really, really creepy evil voice at the end when he's like, no, Ty, I'm not. Like, it was so creepy.
So that was jarring.
It was definitely jarring.
I think I find it darker just because I never believed that they wouldn't win, but I don't have as much faith in their winning, if that makes any sense at all.
I mean, it feels like there are stakes to this time because they have friends that can die.
Yeah,
which they haven't really had. They've always had friends that have been stronger than them before.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
Now all their friends die.
The thing is, so in the context of this arc, they don't actually explain that Digimon will be reborn, right?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
They keep saying their data will be reconfigured.
Yeah, Sora goes on a whole rant about how they're just being downloaded to a different computer or something.
Okay, Sora does not go on a rant. She says, like, one offhand line that felt like she was lying.
Oh, she has, like...
No, she says their data is just being... She says, think of it like their data is just being downloaded to a different server, and it felt like she was just lying to, like, make Mimi feel better.
No, but, like, they know that Digimon get reconfigured, because Angemon came back, like, what, 40 episodes ago?
Yeah. But I feel like they're also supposed to be... I'm wondering if it hasn't been explained yet, or if it was and I missed it, but I thought the case was that the primary village, because of the Spiral Mountain being all twisted and whatever, isn't operating, so Digimon aren't being reborn during this, but then once they fix things, then they are reborn.
If they are, they haven't mentioned it yet.
So I'm wondering when they mention all this, because I thought it was during the Kari exhibition dump, but apparently not.
Maybe. I can't keep track of all the things that possess Kari since.
She does get possessed again later, next arc. Yeah. I think it's just, like, her own power possessing her that time, though.
Well, I watched that episode in Japanese as well, because I was, like, interested in how much they said in English was BS and like, inconsistent, and how much it was actually the original plan. But now I'm more confused, because I'm like, well, they said this one line in which version? And, yeah. And there's also the bad Netflix subs, too, so.
Not that bad.
They are at times. It's very inconsistent. There's a lot of variability.
Somebody on Reddit pointed out all the inconsistencies on, like, they commented on our thread talking about all the inconsistencies of the sub. Like, it says that it's from Rimsy. I don't know how to say something without any vowels. They're like, after hitting the Myotis Monarch, the subs have been ridiculous. They alternate between Gatomon and Tailmon at times within a single episode.
Really?
Never stick with Myotismon or Vamdemon, or for one episode, Vadamon, for more than an episode at a time. Use Wargaroomon in the Shibuya episode.
I think I did see that.
Can never keep track of what they want the level names to be, even when using the official Japanese ones. Adult, matured, perfect, fully evolved, extreme. So yeah.
I've always been confused, why is, let me look this up, why is it Vamdemon with an M? Like, the Japanese is a
vampire demon.
Oh, I guess it's supposed to be vampire, but I mean, it's an N. It's Bon or Bondemon, but it's like, it's always transliterated as an M. And it's like, okay, if the intent is to be a vampire, that makes some sense, but that's still not what the letter that you're transliterating is an N.
Well, it's I'm drawing it and you can't see me draw it, but it's the final N sound, right? Because that sometimes is transliterated as an M instead of an N. Like in Senpai, Senpai is sometimes...
Oh, yeah. I'm always confused by that. Why is it?
I think because that sound in front of a P is just easier to say for a lot of people with an M. It's hard for them to tell the difference. It's a vocalization thing. Well, not a vocalization thing. I don't know. Linguistics.
You know what my favorite was? Straight up Metal Seedramon. Everything he said in his voice, in his lovely, lovely voice, was amazing. Like, I guess Metal Seedramon is to me what Myotis Mon is to Ash.
Yeah, I get it. When I started watching, I was like, ah, yeah, he's pretty good. I still like Myotis Mon, but you know.
I thought I remembered him being more, there being more to it, or like being a really thicker surfer bro accent.
Or what?
I'm just glad that he also never closes his mouth, and I'm glad that in the final fight with WarGreymon got into his mouth, and I was like, yes, I'm glad that became a plot point.
That's actually pretty gruesome, even in the dub. Like, he, like, tears through his skin, there's, like, blood and stuff. I'm pretty sure there's blood.
I don't remember blood, but I do remember it being, like, yeah, very satisfying. Yeah,
oh, it's that. I found that, we'll talk about this later, but it's super weird, because his corpse is just, like, on the ground. They're like, yeah, we beat him.
Yeah.
You don't look so cool now, do you? It's like, his corpse is just there. It's like a snake's dead body, and you're just, and then it evaporates later.
They were like, your chrome digizoid whatever armor chrome. Is so cool.
I'm pretty sure it's chrome.
I don't think it is.
I thought it was a chrome digizoid. No, there's apparently a difference between cron digizoid and chrome digizoid. Okay, so chrome digizoid is a digital world metal refined from cron digizoid. I thought they were just mispronouncing things. My favorite things in this arc are Matt's turning and Puppetmon's childishness, but I have topics for both of those, so I'm not going to go into them too much here.
My favorite thing from this arc was when Mimi grabbed the poop and threw it back at the dog.
Such a weird...
So out of character.
I know. It's great, though. I enjoyed it.
It didn't even, like, make sense, their dialogue in it. I don't know.
The whole fight didn't make sense. Like, why are they treating getting hit by poop as if it's a damaging attack? The whole thing. I just wanted to punch the garbage man. I just wanted to, like, go into the script and just delete that part. I wanted to talk about growth and how, at least in the beginning of this arc, there is a decent amount of revisiting old places and revisiting old friends. And what I think is really interesting is how the characters have changed since then. And I guess we'll get into later whether that's actually true, if they've started to revert in other ways. But at least the show is telling us the Digimon have gotten stronger. And so they've... And seeing how that, you know, like what the dynamics are, looking back at the old places and the old Digimon now that things have changed. So the first place for Digimon is Pixiemon. Well, aside from Chumon, I don't consider Chumon important enough.
Whoa.
Wow.
Pixiemon, I thought was just interesting because when they meet him in that one episode, it's at a point where, well, I thought when we met Pixiemon before that he could have gone toe-to-toe with Edamon, and he was basically like the stronger Digimon teaching them and being wise and whatever. And I thought it was really interesting to see him now, and it's like, he's weaker than them now, and he can buy them time, but he gets destroyed and sacrifices himself. And I thought that was a, not really a lesson, but a cool perspective to see, where like, you worship these mentors, and then you grow up and come back, and it's like, they're real people too. At least that's what I thought of it, you know, things like high school teachers that you, they're kind of like, they're not people, they're like teachers, they're this whole other class at the moment to themselves, and like 10 years later you're like, I am just like, they're just like me.
And you're like, I'm just as smart as you?
No, I don't mean in terms of I'm just, but like, you have the impression in these situations that teachers are smarter than, like, they know everything. They're teaching everything, so they know everything in advance, and you get the impression they're super smart, but you don't see them as people. And I feel like it was, the show is reflecting that humanizing moment of realizing that people, your mentors are real people too, that they're not quite as strong as they appeared at the time. And I actually thought there were more places they revisit, but the only place they revisit is the telephone booth beach. And I don't know, that's where Ty was frustrated they hadn't made any progress, which I found silly, because I mean, it's like, so much has changed, like, to get frustrated because you're in the same physical place, like, everything has changed since then. Like, geez, that was stupid, I thought, and totally contrary.
But you've never felt like that before, Jeff?
I have, but I felt like it was totally invalid for Ty to feel like that at the time. And Shellmon was like an old bully that I feel like also was imposing a high school narrative on that, where it's like, people that you you know, that used to be so big and threatening, you know, that matters so little later in life.
Steep.
Yeah, so profound. And Waymon also, even though he's a good guy, was like, even when he comes back, he's only a champion, I believe. Actually, looking at his Digimon wiki page, it's actually pretty confusing. This Waymon, I'm pretty sure, is definitely a champion, but apparently the class of Waymon can be champion or ultimate, depending on how strong they are. Like, it lists like a specific Waymon that just became really strong, so is classified as an ultimate.
So which one is this right. one on? Champion?
I believe so.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought it was, I mean, like, even he's a champion, but he's still huge and like menacing in the amount of size he has. But then he's just like destroyed in like a second. It's like just boom. That's an interesting perspective to, like, you know, even if something is huge and monumental, it can still be destroyed really quickly and things can come crashing down much faster than you expect.
This show really wants, it doesn't know what it wants with teamwork. So to begin this arc, you get thrown against Dark Masters. There's the seven, all seven of them digivolve into Ultimate. Who's not digivolving? Who didn't digivolve?
There was one.
Yeah, because there's only seven.
You're right. I think it was Gatomon for some reason. Not sure.
I don't
why.
Know why Gatomon didn't.
No, digivolve. Because it was Angemon, because Angemon can't digivolve to Ultimate yet.
Right. Yeah. Angemon. Stupid Angemon. So the other seven digivolve into Ultimate, and then they can't even land a hit on any of the Megas, and I'm like, really? Like, I don't know, there shouldn't be a big enough difference. Like, I would think that in a situation where there was one Mega and seven Ultimates, the seven Ultimates could win, actually, not just not even get a hit in.
I don't think so. I mean, this is not completely new. Once you had, like, the idea of that you had what was it, six Ultimates against Myotismon, and they couldn't defeat him, and yeah, now you're saying that like six champion or seven champions should have been able to defeat Myotismon. Like, that seems crazy to me.
Seven champions though?
Six Ultimates couldn't defeat him. I don't think seven champions could, you know?
But, okay, I guess I just didn't pick up on it as ridiculous in the last arc, but it's also ridiculous to me that six Ultimates could not take down Mega. Wait, now you're confusing me.
You're saying that seven Ultimates should have been able to take down a Mega, and I'm saying one less Ultimate, they couldn't even defeat a really strong Ultimate, so...
Which is ridiculous!
The power levels are kind of arbitrary, you know? It's just...
Which is also ridiculous storytelling.
I'm just saying, there could be a big gap in the Mega. Like, so I assume there's a big range in Mega, just like there was a range in Ultimate to the fact where Myotismon was able to defeat all of the Ultimates together. I mean, Gatomon was able to defeat all the champions.
By summoning other things.
She kind of just jumped around and punched them.
Yeah, they weren't very coordinated attacking. I feel like the show was never actually good at showing strategy. So I think your implicit idea is that they should have been able to use teamwork and corner them. Them and all this stuff, it's like, they don't have the budget to animate that.
But the show also wants to be like, they got stronger and the rookies can beat Shelmon. I'm not buying this both ways thing. You can't have it both ways.
I think that as there is less of a gap in the level, like the, how to describe this, the range of power levels in the evolutions gets bigger. So that there isn't that much of a jump from rookie to champion, but there's a much bigger jump from ultimate to mega. That's how I just saw it.
I think it's poor. It's poor storytelling. Poor justification of levels.
So the show does... I'm trying to think. The only times where they actually effectively incorporate things teaming up is when they combine attacks. So that's like... to defeat Devimon, I think Angemon takes the light from all the Digivices, and that like takes the Digivolution power from the champions. And to defeat Myotismon, Angemon takes the attacks from all the Digimon and combines them together. And if you ban a Myotismon, they use the life and Digivices again, I believe. And I feel like that's the only way the show can really afford to show teamwork well, is them physically combining attacks.
There should be ways that they think of strategy. Like, this is a normal anime thing of, like, we're gonna all attack at the same time, and it'll combine into a big ball of attack and kill people.
And I'm telling you, the animation is so bad, I don't think they could have pulled that off, unless they focused on it.
I don't give a crap about these justifications. I am saying it's bad.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to say it's okay that you're doing it. I'm just saying that that's why. Yeah.
Digimon.
I hope that that's something that improves in the future. As I and think of my memory of it, I don't remember it being so bad in this season, so I'm afraid that it's just as bad in future seasons, but the fights are just so... They're barely even fights. It's just one Digimon calling out an attack animation, a Digimon getting hit. Like...
That's pretty much.
It either kills them, or it doesn't do any damage, and then they either die or they fight back, or like they shoot back. And
it's actually kind of true to the spirit of the V-Pet in that sense.
Yes.
I never thought of it like they basically are. It's like turn-based battles. I kind of find Puppetmon fascinating. We only got half of his screen time in this arc. So looking at the screen time of all the Backmasters, Metal Sujimon gets 2 episodes to himself. Not counting the episode where they all appear briefly. Metal Sujimon gets 2 episodes to himself. Puppetmon gets 5. Machinejimon gets 2. Piedmon gets 2 to 3, depending on whether you count the episode where he's just in the distance coming towards them. And Apocalypmon gets 2. So Puppetmon gets more than twice the length of anyone else, aside from arguably Piedmon. And we've only seen 3 out of those 5 episodes. But I feel like most of the interesting stuff with him happens in these. The rest of them are kind of just he's a normal villain. And yeah, so I find him fascinating because he's so childlike that this villain that... I guess he's not the most fleshed out of the villain. Like, I guess Mauchmon takes that he's the one that they fight for the longest. But I find it fascinating. This is, like, the one that gets the most screen time in the last arc is the one that seems the most trivial, I guess. Like, doesn't seem as threatening on the surface, but then is, like, so childish and creepy and...
He's psychotic.
Right. He definitely is. that's even more... I could see you not getting that impression in the dub, that he's just, like, violent and evil. But the stuff they edit out with his gun...
Oh, yeah.
He has a gun?
Forgot about that. No, yeah, he has a gun. I think he aims it at TK.
No, most of the scenes with TK are with he has a gun. And I'm surprised they edit out so convincingly. I mean, it looks pretty stupid once you actually see the scenes and you're like, oh, now that's why he's holding his hand in this weird position.
Wait, I'm gonna look
this up. So, for example, there's that scene where Puppetmon, so TK, they're in the hallway of his house, and TK is running away, and Puppetmon's like about to catch him, but then he's like, I need to scratch my leg because it's made of poison oak.
Yeah.
What he's actually doing, he has just shot several times at TK and missed and hit the floor. So if you actually look in that scene, you can see like holes behind TK, and then he's stopping to reload his gun, but he's like, he has it below, like, he puts it, he like has the gun below, like next to his leg, and he like the arm motion he's doing is reloading the gun.
My god.
Wait a sec. Wait, no, this picture I just found is terrible.
Show us.
What's this? Yep.
This picture will be in the show notes.
It's so terrible. There's no gun in it. Okay, it's so terrifying. What
is
it?
Okay, this is a...
Oh, it's just fan art. Art
rendering?
It's yeah, not, it's fan art.
Is it fan art? I mean,
yeah.
It is not drawn, though. It looks like it's a CGI model.
You don't think people do fan art through
I'm not saying it's not
fan art. You don't think he's terrifying?
He is a little creepy. This is really cool. Like,
it's a really good one. Yeah.
His eyes scare the crap out of me.
It's a very interesting style. I don't know how to describe it. It's like CGI, but there are like heavy lines, so it looks kind of like anime.
I would not want to play with that. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think anyone wants to play with Puppetmon.
Would play with him when he doesn't have his gun. That seemed okay. All these pictures where he has a gun, I'm like, oh no, no.
Yeah, so I mean, Puppetmon, like, the way he's forcing... So that's what I find interesting about him having the gun or not, is that he's still, without the gun, you know, like, has the ability to destroy, and to destroy, like, especially when he's alone with TK, he could just, like, kill TK with an attack, right? He has a hammer, he could, like, use any attack to kill him right away. But the fact that he has a gun, it just feels so much more intimidating for some reason.
It's just super creepy. Like, that's a real threat. Like, as human beings, we are aware of what guns are and what they symbolize.
Right.
You die. Guns are death. Period.
And Digimon, I guess, like, his power as a Digimon is like, you compare it to attacking other Digimon, but, like, a gun is not something you use to attack other Digimon. It's, like, there just to attack TK.
Yeah. Also, just, like, guns around kids is, like, ugh, bad.
Yeah, Sandy Hook, this last shooting that just happened this weekend. Cool beans.
But it's...
Guns.
What I find a little bit strange about that is I'm surprised that Japan is okay with representations like this. I guess they have... I guess, actually, you know, you kind of brought it up and answered my question. It's because of shooting, like, mass shootings. I was thinking that in Japan, when only police officers can have guns legally, that, like, the idea of running into someone on the street with a gun would be so much more terrifying because it would be, like, so much more out of place. And so I would think it'd be more terrifying for kids in Japan. But I guess the fact that they don't, as a culture, have to deal with mass shootings, it is not as triggering.
I mean, there are toy guns too, but like,
that's not what he had.
I don't know. I can't speak to Japanese, right? But I can speak to Japanese culture and how they feel about guns.
Yeah, it is so. But it just adds so much psychosis to him. To, you know, he's not just a puppet that like wants to. He like is shooting TK. Like, Jesus.
But he was creepy enough even without a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also this just like the juxtaposition of a Puppetmon, who is a toy and he's made of wood, and the metal adult weapon of the gun adds to the whole unsettling, frightening thing he's got going for him. Just,
yeah. Ugh. I guess in universe, to him, a gun is just another toy, which is like, so it's interesting to see him be like, this is, we're just playing, right? But he's like so evil and like.
Yeah. Puppetmon is definitely the scariest villain of these four.
Right. I mean, this is something I've thought about for a while, that like so much time is given to Puppetmon in this show's last stretch, mm-hmm. when so much is rushed, mm-hmm. that they spend so much time fleshing Puppetmon out. And I always wonder like what the point of that was, what they're trying to convey with that. Was it just that he is an effective villain because he is so scary, as like something that is familiar to kids, but also much scarier than anything else because he's familiar to kids? I don't know.
He definitely is effectively childish too. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was kind of cute in a terrifying, sad sort of way, when TK was like, you don't have any friends to play with. And he was like, I have friends. Let me go make a friend right now. And
I know, oh, that was really creepy. I didn't think it was cute. I thought that was super, super creepy.
So that's, I find that super cool / interesting / I've said interesting 100 times so far. But how that moment of him making a friend and then being sad when TK leaves is, on the one hand, both super creepy, how much he devalues, like how much he values friends and that he thinks he can make one out of like pieces and footballs or whatever. But it also is super sympathetic too. Like, I mean, I think most people have both of those feelings in them when they see this, but I think it's also interesting seeing how some people weigh completely to one side, or not completely, but like mostly to one side, and some people weigh mostly the other side. And I feel like Digimon doesn't have that much stuff like that, where it's like not really controversial, but has two different ways to read it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think if there are other things in media like that, but like nothing comes to mind. But I really like that. It's a, it adds depth to it, you know, that you can get different perspectives of it, that people take away different things.
Puppetmon is becoming as frightening as Gone Girl was. Nobody's read that. It is super terrifying.
So it's been a while since I've seen the other episodes that with Puppetmon aren't in this arc, so maybe there's more depth to them, but whatever call, he's kind of, Edamon's going to reappear and Puppetmon's going to interact with him, but like aside from that, it's kind of like they defeat him and he's kind of the, like, he directly attacks them. And what is interesting about this half of his arc is that he doesn't, you know, like that he starts off gaming. Well, so I thought of it as this progression of gaming. He starts off playing with TK, doing like childish things, and it's super creepy to think of that his definition of childish things is to point a gun at him and shoot him. And then once that doesn't work and TK runs away, he steps up to become manipulative and like plays around with people's emotions and turning the kids against each other and watching them destroy each other. And then once that fails, he's like, I'll attack them for real.
I think, didn't we talk in an earlier episode, you were talking about how you didn't have many friends or whatever, and how the show puts emphasis on friendship.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and then the people that don't have friends are like in our media always shown as mass killers. That's Puppetmon, everybody.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he's definitely that exact thing of like, it's weird because he's, you know, normally in shows like this, they just, you know, show like a bad guy who's like, I don't believe in friendship. I just live in my own power. And like, that's his downfall or whatever. But what's weird about Puppetmon is that he actually is written to get some sympathy for not having a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he builds one. Creepy.
I think the thing with Puppetmon is that he goes through so many different phases. It's not like he lingers on that. He does apparently linger on the what Cherrymon tells him in this episode, when he says that the kids are something that you don't. He does linger on that for the rest of his existence, but he is not like, he doesn't try to have a friend for the rest of it. You know, like that's another weird thing about him is that he, or interesting thing, is that he like kind of just has so many different facets of his personality and just bounces around.
I think that's what psychotic people do. Like in, right. I said Gone Girl, there's like the main character definitely, or one of the main characters definitely has multiple, like she just puts on multiple faces to fool people into what she wants them to believe she is and stuff.
That's what a puppet does.
What a puppet does! That's why he's Puppetmon.
I mean, also the way he snaps when Cherrymon tells him that the kids, you know, he's basically like, thanks Cherrymon, I'm gonna leave now. And then Cherrymon's like, wait, there's some piece of information I need to give you. They have something that you don't have. And he's like, they can't have something I don't have, and just murders him. It's pretty psychotic. I worry that,
yep,
I don't know the formal definitions of psychosis, and I worry that I feel like I don't know the distinction between psychotic and sociopathic, and I'm afraid I'm mixing them up.
Might be true. Someone might mix them up.
If that's true and you know, correct us, please. Yeah. Does anyone else have anything to say about Puppetmon?
No.
I think we've effectively beaten this dead puppet.
So, prior to this, it's been pretty straightforward, ethically. There are bad Digimon, and some of them are very smart and very powerful, like Myotismon. And some of them just want to eat you and don't talk, and they just roar a lot and crash into each other and stuff. But this is the first time every evil Digimon they've faced so far has spoken, right?
Including one that didn't previously speak.
Yeah, Shellmon spoke this time, and he didn't before.
So I'm curious, there were Digimon in Tokyo. I'm thinking in particular of Skullmerimon. He was humanoid, but he didn't speak, did he?
No.
Not that I can remember. And he's an ultimate.
Hmm.
I think he just made grumbly noises.
Who did?
Even though I'm trying to think if there were any Myotismon minions, aside from Gatchamon, Wizardmon, Pumpkinmon, and Gotsumon, that talked. And Demi Nevermon. Because there was, I'm trying to think, like, the monsters of the week, there was
Snaymon.
Phantomon.
Phantomon.
No.
Phantomon definitely talked.
All the Bakemon talked.
Okay. They're just, like, evil, though.
What?
Like, Bakemon and Phantomon are clearly representations of evil. Whereas, I think there were a lot of monsters, just being monsters, even though I got the impression that those monsters were working for Myotismon. Like, I never got the impression that Mammothmon was... I didn't think that Mammothmon was, like, a wild Digimon that Myotismon just brought there and let loose. I got the impression that he was, you know, working for him and searching for the child, even though they weren't talking.
I feel like I didn't get that impression.
Mm. I guess it was maybe because of the one line where Kari's like, Mammothmon is being so silly, and I'm like, I guess the fact that she was insulting the way he was searching for the child made me think that he was actually searching for the child? I don't know.
I thought he was also, just, like, tramping around.
Also, I don't know if Mammothmon's a he.
True.
Digimon don't have gender, supposedly.
We should just... I should find that clip of Renamon saying that and just edit that in whenever we talk about gender.
You should. It comes up every episode.
It should be like whenever we have a gender segment, it should be the opening of that segment.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I mean, I have the thing where if I don't know the gender of something, like if I'm reading a first person thing and I don't know if the writer is male or female, I default to male because I feel like...
Spoiler alert for the Hunger Games. Katniss is a girl. I read the first chapter before realizing it was a girl.
I read most of the first chapter before realizing it was a girl.
Really?
Really.
Huh.
So I'm trying to remember what it was that tipped me off. I think it was her describing her relationship with Madge. Is that the mayor's daughter's name?
Yeah.
It's weird because that was what tipped me off, which is like a relationship between a guy and I think it was talking about like girly things that she was doing with Madge or something, like them being together in like gym class. No, I don't talk about gym class.
Like class in general.
Yeah, they talk about school. And I guess it was like, that's the first thing that made me think like this is a little strange for a guy and a girl to be close, but not romantically close. But it's weird because like you have Gail and you have Madge and they're opposite genders. So like I don't know why her interaction with Gail I interpreted that as same sex.
Really?
Well, because it was weird. Like I wish they weren't a thing.
It was a conversation with Gail that she had about children that tipped me off that it was a girl. I was like, oh.
I was just like, okay.
I got this now.
Two bros talking about whether they want to have children in life. Like,
oh, that's progressive of you, Jeff.
I would not find it weird to, like, I would find it weirder to talk to a random, I guess they're romantically interested in each other, but I would find it weirder to talk to a girl that I wasn't romantically interested in about having kids.
That whole conversation was just kind of weird. It was a little off-putting. It's still off-putting to me. Accidental Hunger Games podcast. But no, I definitely always default to male if I don't know. Or if I just see, like, every Digimon that I look at, unless it's, like, not even the pink ones, because Chumon's pink and Pixiemon's pink. I just default to male.
I wonder, I'm excited to get feedback. As of this recording, we haven't released the last episode yet, because... It takes a really long time, and I am so tired, and I get, like, 4 hours of sleep each night. But, so we talked last time about the fact that most Digimon are written to be male unless there is a specific reason for them to be female. And I'm curious if to get feedback if that's wrong, or like if there are lots of examples we haven't thought of. But I'm also wondering now if like were we just biased and there were a lot of like that maybe most Digimon are neutral, no gender specified, and we just assumed they're male.
I assume, like you just said, Manathon doesn't. There's no indication one way or the other.
Right.
Male.
So yeah, I guess if we rule like, out all the beast, all the non-talking Digimon, I still feel like all the talking Digimon are mostly male.
I definitely feel like that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by most, I mean like all except for Yokomon, Lady Devimon.
There was a Floramon in this arc somewhere.
Right.
She talked.
Talked once.
Yes. She had a line, like half a
yeah.
line.
Yeah. Being like, where is Puppetmon going or something? I don't know. Something like that. Continue, Asher.
I don't remember what I was talking about.
We've gone so off topic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were talking about intelligence and ethics. So
yeah.
We have a lot of Digimon in this arc that talk, and they still destroy them. And yeah, it's very odd. And it's the first time we've ever seen like Digimon lying around dead, too. They usually just like vanish into sparkles immediately after the final blow.
That's true.
Metal Seijimon's the only one, though, right?
What?
That they kill that just lies there? Metal Seijimon's the only one that they kill that just lies there, right?
Yeah. But I mean, Waymon just lies there for a while.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of other Digimon they actually killed, and they don't kill Scorpiomon, or it's kind of.
They don't kill Scorpiomon.
But also, I also don't think Metal Seijimon does either, because he kind of just drops him into the sand, which I don't think would kill him.
He set him on
fire. Yeah, I don't think he would kill him. Yeah, he was on fire, though, at some point.
But then he went to the water.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
I really thought when they showed Zudamon and Scorpiomon in the thing, and Scorpiomon was on fire, I really thought he was dead just there, and they were just one, like, we were just watching him be on fire to death. It was really scary.
And I don't think they kill any Divermon, or do they? Because I guess Zudamon fights Divermon, right?
They break their pressure things. The Divermon?
I assume they just floated back up, or like, like swam back up.
That's a really, really, really painful thing.
Okay, but that wasn't their, that was their agency. They followed to the point where they couldn't?
Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's also kind of
true. Yeah, but I'm thinking when they actually, in the fight with Metal Seijimon, like, Zudamon also fights Divermon, if I recall correctly. But I can't remember if he destroys any.
I don't remember.
Just didn't care about these fights that much. They definitely kill Kiwimon in the next episode. Well, it's actually weird. They, like, Kiwimon disappears. Like, they hit him, there's a cloud of smoke, and then he's gone. They kind of sidestep whether he dissolves or has a corpse or whatever. And then I guess they kill the Garbagemon. Although I could literally not care less.
So you're at the, like, absolute zero.
Literally.
Absolute zero. Literally. Caring. I got it. Got it.
Yes. Yes.
I see.
I'm trying to do the Parks and Rec Chris Traeger literally. I can't do it.
Go on, Asher.
Keep losing my train of thought, guys.
Don't you mean your trailmon of thought?
Haven't we made that joke already?
Yeah.
Guys, we're reusing jokes now. It's so bad.
It's just the... The bad guys they kill, besides, you know, the Dark Masters themselves, don't seem that bad. And except for the Trashmon. They're kind of obnoxious.
Garbagemon.
Obviously. Oh, how dare you call them by...
Whatever.
How dare you call them Trashmon? They'd be really offended.
Are they?
But yes. The weird thing, I feel like the missing link here is an understanding of why they are working for the Dark Masters anyway. And if it's some form of enslavement or the only thing they could do, I'd feel some sympathy.
You don't think that's the case for some of them? Scorpiomon didn't seem to...
Scorpiomon seemed to be doing it just to get clams, which...
Which is what? Kind of exploitation. He didn't seem...
Couldn't he get his own clams?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
It just...
Well, if he's actually a scorpion, then no, because scorpions... Well, he's not a scorpion, is he? He's some kind of...
Right, so thing. I can explain this.
Yeah, yeah, he's a... he's whatever Anorith is.
What's that?
That's a Pokemon.
So Scorpiomon, in Japanese, the original name is Anomalocarimon. Anomalocarimon, which is based on the Anomalocaris, which is a real thing. In the Digimon Wiki thing, where you have to click through an ad when you leave the page is ridiculous. Anomalocaris is it a real animal? Or is it... No, it's a fossil. Like, it's an old dinosaur thing that looks just like Scorpiomon, basically. And there is another Digimon called Scorpiomon in Japanese that they made super confusing by naming this one Scorpiomon. And that other Scorpiomon actually looks like a scorpion, but is like a skull, like looks kind of like Scully Scorpion. So the name is Skull Scorpiomon in English. Title: Desert Assassin. Yeah, anyway, sorry. But in the clam thing, it's like, I think that was just for a visual gag of like, how is he going to get paid off? It's with clams. Aww. I don't know how much to... There's just not enough time to flesh out. There's not enough time. It's not their priority to flesh this out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I wish they did, but...
It's just... I don't know. I think with the higher death rate in these episodes and the fact that they refer to it as a war now. It is a war between equals and not a fight for survival or a fight to save the world. Like, Ty still says it's a fight to save the world, but he does also call it a war. And Matt points out, like, look, none of the rest of us want a part in your war. And that a war definitely implies more of a equal sides fighting thing. Otherwise, we call it, like, suppressing an insurrection or quelling unrest. And the equality of, you know, the evil Digimon they're fighting and Ty and the others is sobering, I find. Especially given some of the really horrible things that happen, like Scorpiomon being set on fire and Puppetmon waving a gun around and Waymon, I still don't know how he died.
Getting shot by Metal Seedramon.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, it does raise a lot of questions that aren't answered properly ever, really. I mean, the second generation kids question it in 02, but the older generation is just like, yeah, whatever. So
I just think that the debate about like whether it's okay to kill Digimon is, it's just so, who cares, because they get reborn.
Wow. Okay, that's not where I was going. I understand, you know, it is a fight for their life once they're in the battle, like once the battle is joined, but it feels different this time around than it ever has. They are struggling when it doesn't really seem that they should be, and there are ethical considerations that haven't really come up before, or not in this degree, not to this degree. It's just, I'm not happy with any of these battles.
I agree. I noticed the war thing too, and even though Matt fights over it, like, okay, I mean, recap Matt is not the same as show Matt, I guess, but when he's recapping whatever episode, he says specifically War Greymon had no other choice but to kill Metal Seedramon.
And I was like, yo, really? I don't believe that.
Like, they've gone into this whole war mode, and I'm like, what? And, I mean, the other ethical consideration it brings up for them is to how to correctly honor their dead friends, which is the whole impetus behind Matt getting really emo, I guess.
One of the factors.
I thought it was really... That whole fight between Matt and Ty when Mimi's like, we should honor our dead friends, like, and she's making graves or memorials or whatever. And Ty's like, no, whatever, we need to move forward. And then Matt jumps in. I was actually like, Ty, you're being really terrible. Like, I sided with Matt, but everybody else was always against Matt. And I was so confused because I didn't agree.
Like, Ty's been a jerk this arc, not as much of a jerk as he has been previously. You know, he's had his jerk moments, but Matt's been ridiculous.
I disagree. I think he was being a bigger jerk.
Well, actually, I think you misread the situation. I think most people were disagreeing with Ty and agreeing with Matt. You know, like, Mimi was upset. Ty was, like, stopping upset, we need to leave. And Matt was defending Mimi. Like, I got the sense that he was defending everyone's right to stay behind. And Matt was, and Ty was the one who was out of line. Not that, especially at that point, at least, that Matt was not the one in the wrong to the rest
of it. Yeah, I mean, no, that is what Matt was doing. But none of the other kids backed him up.
Yeah, none of the other kids backed him up. And then in the end, he's the one who has to leave because they don't support him at all.
I really think that by the time that he leaves, it's not really about him wanting to mourn or like let people mourn the deaths. You know, like that's like the thing that sparks the debate, sparks this tension, but it's not, that's not the reason he chooses to walk off on his own, really. It has much more to do with TK and...
Well, I mean, all the kids, yeah. We'll talk about Matt.
So the whole, like, killing Digimon thing, the show, like, when a Digimon dies and they get respawned, like, sure, it sets them back and we don't really see what happens when they come back to life, because they all do it after the, except for Angemon, they all do it later. But to pretend like there are these high stakes, life and death situations for these Digimon that respawn, and maybe there's some, like, those costs are minimal compared to the death of the children.
I take issue with this interpretation because we don't know for a fact that the Digimon respawn as themselves. Their data gets reconfigured. They could be coming back as entirely different Digimon. We don't know that they retain their memories for a fact because the only ones that seem to are important Digimon like Devimon, who, you know, we could debate about whether or not he actually respawned or just, like, was collected in a whirlpool. And, yeah, there's Tokomon, who had his partner with him the whole time he was coming back and, you know, didn't seem to have memories as a baby. He was just kind of a baby. There's Wormmon, but again, he had his partner. I can't think of any others that have definitely respawned. Can you?
Well, I mean, there's Sukumon and Chumon. There's Waymon.
Yeah. Have they respawned yet? Have we seen them?
I mean, in 02. In 02, they come back.
Okay.
And I don't think Pixiemon comes back.
Okay. But there's still, I think, a significant potential for loss. And the fact of death is also something I don't feel right downplaying the impact of.
So the core of what I'm saying is that the humans in the show have full consequences to their death. And we're saying that there is, like, a risk of the same kind of loss for the Digimon. And
I'm not saying
but
that.
But it's not as much.
I'm just saying that, like, it's not nothing for a Digimon to die.
Right, it's not nothing, but it's not the same. It's not as bad as the humans dying.
Well, you would say that because you're a human. Ashley, what do you think?
I mean, the digital world is so inconsistent to me.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't gotten that explanation of how they're actually reborn. We've heard,
I mean, like, Patamon came back and was good.
Like, he had no memory loss, but that would mean he was with his partner, so maybe there was something weird about that. But I think we maybe need to wait until we hear the explanation at the end of the season for how they get reborn.
Mm-hmm. I just still find something ethically unsettling about callousness towards Digimon life that's going on in this arc.
I feel like the show, at least the way they frame it in 02, definitely wants you to feel that. Or at least, I feel like it kind of wants to have its cake and eat it too, though. It wants to be like, they all come back to life. It's all happy. You don't worry about it. But also be like, look at how violent and gruesome it is. Everything's depressing. Mm-hmm. And everyone's happy. Everything's depressing.
Everything is awesome.
Nothing is awesome in this arc.
Everything's depressing when you're in the Spiral Mountain.
It's true.
Everything is awesome when you live in our dream.
But I just feel like knowing that, again, I want to hear the wording at the end of the season, but knowing that the conclusion is supposed to be something along the lines of, don't worry, everyone gets reborn, I don't feel there's that much weight to these deaths.
I just feel like that's so fake, though. I just feel like that's so fake.
What's fake? That they come back?
That don't worry, everyone comes back. Like, who would come back from death the same? Just bugs me.
Okay, so I want to, like, walk through Matt's arc and then discuss it in general. So the steps of Matt's arc in this arc. So we start, the first signs of it are after Waymon dies and Mimi is setting up the graves. And we talked about this, of Ty being like, we need to move on. And Matt being like, no, defending Mimi. And I don't know, I feel like that was, at first I was like, oh, it's interesting, they're seeding this conflict early on, then realized that, you know, it's because it comes to a head in that episode. So it felt a little contrived to me that it's like, they introduce it in the same episode where something happens with it. But I liked how it wasn't actually, that wasn't the reason he leaves. He leaves because he feels worthless after TK can save himself and he gets all his validation from TK and then suddenly TK doesn't need him anymore. So then he leaves after TK comes back after going off Pokemon. And he talks to Cherrymon. Cherrymon convinces him that he needs to defeat Tai to progress. So he fights Tai and then they're interrupted because Kari goes crazy. And then I found it interesting how as soon as they're interrupted, like, once they're in their vision quest, he basically, like, acts like one of the team for most of it until, like, they start talking about the crest, and then he's like, oh, mine's friendship. But until then, he's like, I don't know if this is, like, a weird animation thing, they're just used to animating them together or whatever, but, like, I interpreted it as, like, once push came to shove and they're actually in, like, a new situation and he needs to act, he's, you know, his first reaction is to just be part of the team again. But then I liked how at the end of that, Ty is, like, willing to forgive him, and he's like, no, I still need to see, still need to go off my own. But anyway, those are the steps. How did you feel about it in general?
I thought it I thought it was a regression of their character again. Mm-hmm. Like, this is pretty much what happened. Like, we see them fighting again, like in episode 12 or something, when they have their little fist fight with Frigimon or whatever. And I feel like the stuff with TK is also things that have been hashed out before elsewhere.
The fist fight with TK was about, fist fight with Tai was over completely different things. And I feel like there have been conflicts with basically like Tai's relationship with TK that has come up before, but I've never felt that Matt has faced TK not needing him until this arc.
What about the time that he was lost with Demidevimon and Tai saved him because Matt ran off suddenly?
Yeah, I was just about to say. I feel like this whole arc reset a lot of characters' development. Not just Matt. I feel like Tai regressed a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like Tai regressed the most. And Matt...
Yeah.
And Matt, I feel like, didn't regress so much as he was given issues he didn't really have before.
Wait, but how... I thought this... At least this one thing of, you know, feeling...
Feeling unneeded, yeah. Like, there's been... That's been coming for a while. Although TK's sudden drop into, I'm a big kid and I can handle myself, is very strange.
That's true. I feel like he doesn't really get that much time to talk, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been the first time he's talked in a while.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's always had that about him in some way. He's always been like, Matt, you don't need to baby me. Like,
true.
Knock it off.
He's never told him to completely stop and go away like he has here.
Well, I feel like TK might be the one person in this arc who didn't regress, who actually progressed.
Yes, yeah. I feel like Joe and Mimi made some progress, too. Or at least they didn't go back.
Yeah, they were the same, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
I take issue with, I think this thing of Matt was not, if it was retraining things, it was only in the sense that, like, these ideas have been set up before.
I feel like mostly it's his frustration with Tai that seems really out of place. Because he seemed really chill ever since Frigimon, he's been cool with Tai. Like, he's accepted Tai's leadership. He's been okay with Tai being generally in charge.
I feel like maybe I'd buy this more as being, like, his frustration with Tai being more connected to TK if they had fleshed out the fact that Tai saves TK earlier on with when Matt leaves him alone.
Mm.
Instead, it's just, like, he's overjoyed to see TK and isn't, like, mad at Tai or anything. But I would believe that if he were, like, I don't know. Because, I mean, they even have TK and Tai have a conversation about how TK is like, I want you to be my brother. And Tai's like, well, just until we reunite with Matt or something. So it's clear there should be some jealousy there, whether Matt realized it at the time or not. And
yeah, but that got put away for so long.
Yeah. I feel like it just feels like these issues were either addressed before and resolved, or they were addressed so long ago that for them to come to a head in this episode as, like, an explosion is just really, like, what's up.
Yeah.
I guess that's the problem once you have this many characters and that many things going on, that I get the sense that... I never had the sense that, like, these books were closed. Maybe because I know what's coming.
Yeah.
Like, rewatching it. So I knew that, like, you know, when it looked like Matt and Tai were all good in midway through the season, I wasn't like, okay. Like, I knew that stuff was going to come up again, so I looked at it a different light. I feel like maybe this is probably one of the reasons that they focused on smaller casts in future seasons. Although, I guess it's arguable whether the cast is smaller in 02. I mean, there are only 5 main Digidestined, but then the adventure cast comes back occasionally, and then...
World tour!
Yeah.
I found... I'm talking about Gabumon.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, I found his... I can't decide if I liked that he was like, I'm going to prove to you that there's loyalty by fighting WarGreymon, or not.
Well, so that, his speech there, did you pick up on how weird and disconcerting it was? How positive it was? And there was, like, positive music playing, and yet he, like, looks really aggressive?
Yes, Gabumon, yeah.
So the original Japanese, his speech is much more aggressive. So in the dub, Gabumon says something like, Matt needs to believe in himself, and then he always has, like, that Gabumon, if he doesn't have, like, Gabumon will always be his friend. And he'll prove that he, you know, still has friendship. In the Japanese... So that was, I thought it was a very positive message in the dub. But in the Japanese, Gabumon's speech is more along the lines of, like, yeah, Tai's way is wrong. Your way's better.
Oh,
really?
And I'll fight beside you, even if you defy all of them.
Wow. What? That's badass.
Oh, I like that far less.
That explains his face, you know?
Like, yeah, that explains his face. No, I liked English one better.
I do like the dub speech better, yeah. Although there's something very fiercely loyal about the Japanese one that I appreciate.
But I feel like you still get that in the English because he's still like, I'm going to go fight War Greymon. Like,
yeah. I like it. I like the dub, what the dub did here.
So there's two things, right? There's, is his turning the result of manipulation and the corruption from Cherrymon, or is it the result of things he needs to resolve, like, you know, just a part of, like, things he needs to resolve himself? And the dub makes it more about the latter, that it's, you know, I mean, it just it makes it less evil and more like, this is a personal issue we need to go through together.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not true that the Japanese is really, like, you know, it's not like Gabumon's speech is, like, actually corrupted by Cherrymon physically or whatever. It's just, it felt very much more evil. And I like how the dub didn't go for evil more than it went for, you know, personal differences. Because I think this is a... I actually wonder if this is on TV Tropes. A page for the trope of just, like, there's someone that turns on the team.
I feel like I wouldn't call this a turn. It's just, like, Matt has a problem and he takes the problem to the team in a very direct way.
Right, that's true. It's not like he's going to side with the Dark Masters or anything.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to, like, hurt any of them. He just wants to, like, beat Tai and kind of make him listen, you know?
So that's what I found. I think this is in the dub and the English, I'm pretty sure. Or sorry, the dub and the Japanese, I'm pretty sure. Where when Matt and Tai are punching each other, Tai says, like, each punch is for the Digimon that have died.
Oh, yeah.
And I found that really weird because... I could understand that if Matt was like, we are going to give up and not fight the Dark Masters, or if he was going to side with the Dark Masters. But his conflict had nothing really to do with, like, I still got the impression Matt wanted to destroy the Dark Masters eventually.
Yeah, and he wasn't against the team. He wasn't against the team, he was just against Tai.
Right, so, like, why was Tai righteous about the Digimon that died?
Because Tai's always righteous.
Yeah, and it felt strange because that was exactly his opposite point and what had made Matt initially mad.
Matt wanted to defend
Yeah, Matt, that was like Matt's stance initially, and then Tai was like, I'm going to co-opt it and throw it back in your face.
Yeah, you know, like, I actually thought that was a very sneaky debate tactic on Tai's part. He was like, I'm going to remember all these guys with my fists.
So that's the one, when I watched the whole series in Japanese without subtitles 2 years ago, there are only a couple moments that actually stood out that I was like, felt like I understood. This moment where Tai is like punching and saying the Digimon's name, which I remember being like, oh, that's so interesting and poignant and looking, like, understanding the context. And I'm like, nope, that's, if anything, it shows that Tai is manipulative and, like, if anything, shows that Matt had more reason to beat him up, but...
I've had my fill of Matt.
I'm wondering if it's worth describing Sora's reaction to Matt wanting to leave.
Oh, see, I felt the Serato thing in this.
I feel like after reading that creator, whatever he is, his take on it, I just keep seeing it more and more, and I'm like, is this just the creator's vision corrupting it?
Well, I don't think about the creator's thing, but I have been noticing the Serato more. But I think it's because, you know, I know it happens, so I'm on the lookout for it. It might not be the creator.
Yeah, there were definitely shots that, like, felt Serato-y.
Because they get each other.
Like, they're not even talking.
Yeah, they get each other. Like, she gets what both Matt and Tai are getting at, and she sort of, you know... I think she agreed with Matt, but didn't want them to fight, basically.
I think she was... When he decides to leave at the end, at the very end, everyone else is like, come on, Matt, can't you stay? Like, let's split up into two... Actually, she's the one that mentioned they split up into two groups. But she's the one that's like, okay, I understand. I'm not going to be able to stop you. You should go off.
Yeah.
And, see, I mean, I knew... Watching, so I guess, like, for the first half of the season, we were watching it, I knew that they were going to end up together, but I always interpreted it as a thing that was added after the fact, so I didn't read into these things. And having read the producer's intentions makes me read into them more, and I don't know if that's good or bad.
I think that definitely, even if we hadn't read that, knowing that it happens is going to somehow corrupt your viewing.
I don't think that's corrupting. I think if it's in canon material, then that's fine.
So can somebody just explain all of episode 45 to me with Possessed Kari? Because I don't get anything.
I actually wrote down notes for this as a section that I cut because we had too many sections. But it raises so many more questions than it answers.
Yes, that is what happens.
Yes, it does.
And there's just... I don't understand the point of it because... I don't know.
It was very forced. It's like Matt's having issues because he doesn't know why he was chosen. And they were like, well, this is why. Except not really.
Those weren't really his issues, though. His issues weren't really about why.
Yeah, but he mentioned it in one line during the fight. And apparently that was enough to diffuse his whole thing. He still hasn't worked out any of his issues. No.
I guess there was a lot about friendship, though. Like, he was like, why have I been given the crest of friendship? And they did kind of answer that.
Yeah,
it,
I guess.
It was supposed to be the their best attributes at the time, which is a weird...
Which is so
weird. It's pretty weird. I don't know if there... Thing is, I don't know if there'd be any answers that would be satisfying. I think it is a bit, like, lost at this point, where I think they set up mysteries that didn't have good resolutions that could have been written. But there's... I have some, like, why is there a distinction between data that, like, there's data that is Digimon, data that isn't Digimon? Like, aren't Digimon just things that are data form in the digital world? Like, why are there these things that, I mean, like, Jenna can take human form, or Jenna can take physical form, so why is there data that, there's data that makes Digimon, there's data that is not Digimon but can take human form, and there's data that can't take any form and still not Digimon. Ugh. And can for some reason possess Kari without any explanation for why it's just Kari.
Because Kari is the light or whatever.
Right.
That was the explanation.
Did they say that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like when whoever, like when Tai is like, why didn't you take Joe instead? They're like, because I can only communicate with Kari because he's connected to the light or something.
See, I don't remember them saying that. I thought they just said, because we can only communicate with Kari.
Pretty sure there's some point where somebody says, because Kari is light.
So one thing I liked though was, I think it's in, I'm confused because I watched things in the dub and the Japanese first episode, hoping to get more answers, and it just raised more questions. But in the dub, I'm pretty sure, Possessed Kari describes the Genii-like people, the hooded people, and they're like fiddling around with instruments, and she says like they are like constantly balancing light and dark or something, which was a weird line. But I like to think that what they're doing is actually putting the little white splotches throughout the world, and that's how they balance it.
Wow. You blow my mind.
Yeah. Actually, I don't want to go too much into this because it's supposed to be answer questions, but we have a bit of feedback about, it's actually from a while ago, and it's from Ian, who's a very attentive listener and my friend from college, but he, we were talking about how it's contrived, how the characters became digidestined or chosen children or whatever, and how, like, shouldn't there be more people who saw the Digimon who didn't get chosen? And his answer was something. He mentioned the math class we took about, so he points out if and only if, and how, so the statement is you have to see a Digimon to become a digidestined, and that's not an if and only if relationship. Basically, that statement is just saying it's only directing one way, that in order to be a digidestined, you have to see a Digimon. And that statement doesn't say that everyone who sees a Digimon becomes a digidestined, which is what kind of the way we were talking about it before. But my issue really comes with the fact that it's not that they constantly talk about how they're chosen. And so it's definitely not that every... Right. So having seen, up until this point, they always said that the reason they were chosen is because they saw the Digimon, which isn't really right. Like, the fact they saw the Digimon just narrowed the pool down to a group of whatever, how many people were at the scene, and they were chosen for some other reason. And at least in this episode, they basically threw up their hands and said, we don't know what it is either.
Didn't they say that these, I guess, six were chosen because they have something in common with Kari and Tai?
But that they don't know what it is.
I know. What do they have in common with Kari and Tai? That's an unanswered question.
So if people haven't watched it recently, they said, Possessed Kari said that Tai and Kari specifically were chosen because they helped Agumon digivolve in the movie, but everyone else because they had something in common or something. It's just so, so much, like, we don't even know what's going on. Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically my unanswered question, is everything in episode 45.
That's a doozy.
Yeah. What are your unanswered questions?
Oh, Ashley, you don't have any because you don't have your notes?
I have notes. I don't write down unanswered questions.
Oh.
I mean, I don't have any unanswered questions that I actually want answered. I just, like, don't care about this arc very much.
My Otis mom's no longer here. Ash doesn't care.
Yeah, pretty much. Just, like, not enthused.
Yeah, most of my unanswered questions are, like, complaints about logic.
Yeah, basically.
There's so many logic holes that it's like, at some point you just stop caring. But some of them particularly egregious, like, why does Waymon attack by creating a tidal wave? That seems like the least efficient way to attack someone at a far range, to spin around really fast and make a tidal wave. Especially for someone that can swim out of it. That was weird. And we talked about Digimon leaving behind corpses, and only some of them do it for some reason. Why did they name the episode with Cherrymon and Matt? They named it after the Garbagemon subplot, which was so much stupider. I guess they had more, like, they're actually fighting them for longer. But I'm like, just...
What was it called?
I think it was called Trash Day? Yeah, it was called Trash Day. The Japanese title is the Jureimon, the Japanese name for Cherrymon, of the Lost Forest. So it's like, they purposely were like, let's focus on the trash. And I'm like,
It would have been clever if it was like Trash Talk or something. Yeah. I could have overlapped into both plots.
Yeah.
Wow. We should get in touch with Jeff Nimoy and tell him he should do.
I will tweet at him.
and he'll reply and be like, are you interested in my cooking startup?
Yes. I am. I need a job. Here we go.
So this was especially, Ash, did you, watched them on Netflix, right? Did you notice the weird titles?
Weren't they in they were the Japanese titles, weren't they?
No. So they were like, I mean, they were, I think, mistranslations of the Japanese, or they were different translations of the Japanese titles.
Oh.
Right, so episode 43, English name is Playing Games, and the Japanese name is The Dangerous Game, Pinokimon. And the Netflix showed for the dub was Pinokimon's Deadly Game, which is not even Pokemon's name in English. And
yeah,
but it's weird because it's like, it's clearly the same words as the Japanese title. The Japanese title is definitely like The Dangerous Game ! Pinokimon. I mean, like, there's leniency in translation, but like, they definitely reworded it. I'm like, why did they reword it? Because if you go to the sub page, it uses the Dangerous Game ! Pinokimon, not the Pinokimon's Deadly Game. So it's like they retranslated the Japanese titles and then put them into the dub. And the same thing with so it makes even less sense for episode 44, which is Trash Day in English in the dub, and is Jureimon of the Forest in Japanese, but Netflix called it Yamato in the Forest of Delusion. So I don't know where they got Yamato, because the Japanese title is about Cherrymon, and it just, like, what? Where did someone just make these up out of the blue and put them into the Netflix database? Who did this?
How? Have you heard that there's like a bug on Netflix that's for the descriptions, and for some people, I guess, on certain devices, it puts the last sentence of a description is from the next thing that's in the queue, so it creates these really funny mashups because they don't make any sense. I'll try to find this thing, hold on.
That's so random.
All right, ridiculous dialogue, Jeff. We go around and pick our top three funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episodes. So this is supposed to be our quotes, our teams of three. And I guess, are we having comments for this episode, Jeffrey, on our website? Yeah. So we're going to have a comment section, so you should choose a winner. Which team wins? Let me see if I can try to do just like all of them be Metal Seedermon. All right, first... Metal Seedermon, let's see. This is in episode 41. What is happening when this quote is happening? Oh, I guess Metal Seedermon thinks that he is destroying all the Digidestin when he burns down Scorpiomon's hut. And he says,
"Farewell, Digidestin. It was a rare pleasure knowing you. Medium rare."
Yeah! Wow.
No, I love Metal Seedermon.
Wow.
In his voice, it will be epic.
Wow.
Oh, okay. This one's actually great. This is a great line. So this is in episode 42. And Izzy is explaining something about something he's doing while they're inside Waymon. I don't remember exactly. But Ty says,
"Oh, come on. You think I'm too brainless to understand?"
And then Izzy says,
"Yes, but I'll tell you anyway."
I actually liked the more full quote. Like, wait, where is it? Oh, yeah. Like, Gatomon begins, "What's that noise? I was taking a cat nap and it woke me up." And then Izzy says, "I'll tell you later." And then Ty butts in, "What, you think I'm too brainless to understand?" And Izzy says, "Yes, but I'll tell you anyway."
I was just like, Izzy! You are clearly very exasperated with this team. And we are too.
I feel like we're going to have, like, our favorites. Well, at least Ashley has her favorite. Metal Seedermon and I have some of my favorites. Anyway, my first one is, it's in episode 42. It's Divermon, one of the Divermon. The first quote is, Divermon says,
"Red leader to blue leader, areas 13 through 18 are clear. Go
leader, the blue leader. Areas 23 and 24 are clear too.
Listen, Bill, Sid, how many times do I have to tell you guys? There are just three of us. You can call me Jim.
And it's a reference to Star Wars. And then later on, the same Devimon's like,
Red Leader, this is Phil.
And I'm just like, Digimon have names now? What? Like,
right.
Why do they have names all of a sudden?
Because they always had names, you just didn't know.
I feel like they just, it introduces so much complexity to the canon to be like, oh, these Digimon have names themselves, because this one writer decided to add this stupid dub joke and reference to Star Wars.
Oh, do I get to pick? Should I pick another Metal Seizuremon? There's one from episode 42 that's not Metal Seizuremon. That's also just so funny.
Fair enough.
I think we're gonna pick that one.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. All right. So they're inside Waymon, and they're talking about Dark Masters and how they came about or something. And Sora says,
"Do you remember Waymon?"
Referring to the Dark Masters, like, "Do you remember the Dark Masters?" And Waymon says,
"Of course I remember Waymon. Big fella, snappy dresser. Oh, you mean the Dark Master?"
I have that one written down. Waymon. I really enjoy Waymon. He was great.
That was... sure.
Oh my god, Jeff.
I'm so judgmental.
So mean. Only to me, though.
What?
So mean.
No, I'm not.
You're always mean to me. You're not mean to Ash.
Not true.
It is true.
Thanks? I don't know whether to...
Okay, then since Ashley didn't pick a Metal Seedramon quote, I will. And
yes.
This is from episode 42. And he says...
"You're finished, you upstart Digi-Destined! In a word, you're sunk!"
I was like, no!
It's even more ridiculous because finished is a word already.
Yeah.
He's so dumb. So dumb.
So mine is also from the Metal Seizuremon section. This is what I feel like when I said that this arc was punnier, is that I feel like they're able to have, well, I guess Waymon, that wasn't a very aqua-themed joke, but they're able to, like, focus on these aqua jokes and get them all out. And anyway, so this is while they're in Waymon and being chased by Devimon. I think it's when Devimon actually find them, and maybe it's while they're going underwater and they haven't gotten to the really high-pressure area yet. But Devimon says,
"You and the big whale, pull over!"
Yeah.
So yeah, so you don't laugh.
Yeah.
You're mean.
What happened?
You're mean to me.
Whatever. Okay, I have to round out with the Metal Seedramon. Which one is funnier? So difficult. I feel like one of them is, like, genuinely sort of logical, so let's not say that one. Okay, this is also episode 42. I guess it's in the very beginning somewhere, when they first escape with Waymon, and Metal Seedramon's reassuring himself that he will find Digidestin. And he says,
"I rule this ocean with an iron hand, an iron tail, and an iron everything for that matter."
I have that one written down too. Okay, and I will round out mine with a Mimi quote. And this is from episode 41, when they're fighting Shelmon, I guess. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she says,
"Why don't you come out from behind your shell and fight like flam?"
And I was like, really, Mimi? Really?
What does that mean?
I didn't even catch that one.
It doesn't mean anything. Like, the phrase is fight like a man, Jeff.
No, it's fight like a mon.
Sure.
They have said that in the show.
Yeah,
sure.
I know they have. Ty said it.
Yeah.
Ty would say it.
Yeah, he would.
So this is Cherrymon. I think it's when they, Matt and Gabumon are meeting him. And I find it frustrating that Gabumon instantly knows that Cherrymon's evil. I wish it had been more like, do we trust this guy's advice? I don't know. He's saying some things that make sense. Instead, it was like, he's evil. Don't listen to him. I must listen to him. Oh, no. And anyway. So Cherrymon's, I guess, describing he's good, and he says,
"In fact, you might even say I've turned over a new leaf."
Totally a, like, wow, that was a terrible joke I just made reaction.
Yeah.
Cherrymon had so many good puns, too.
He really did.
I have to play my fourth is,
"Young man, didn't anyone ever tell you you should listen to your elders? Or was it Redwood you should listen to?"
Wow.
I can never quite get those two straight.
I did not remember that.
That one was good. That one was good.
It was actually a good one, right?
Yeah.
You can find the show notes for this episode with links and images of everything we discuss at podigious.com/9. Also, we added a comment section last week, so post comments there with your favorite Ridiculous Dialogue draft pick or any thoughts about this episode. If you think that, what do you think about our argument about death and Digimon being trivial, or if it actually has merit, or anything you dislike or like about the show. We're Podigious on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr if you like social media. We have some awesome new reviews in iTunes this week. Huge thanks to BH Bravo 87 and Neku Rules. I assume Neku Rules is a reference to The World Ends With You, in which case I agree, Neku does rules. If you like the show and want to be cool like them and help new people find the show, search iTunes for Podigious and leave us a review. Next week, we're going to destroy a forest and come down with a fever due to Edamon's return in episodes 46 through 49. Bye.
Bye.
In episode 42, Under Pressure, Waymon hides the kids at the bottom of the sea. The kids complain that the pressure's pushing down on me, pushing down on you, no man asked for. The kids are surprised to learn that a thin serpent can fit through a narrow cave better than a giant whale, and Ty starts screaming, "Let me out!" God, oh God.
What did you just do? I don't think that's how that line goes in the song.
I can edit in the actual song.
Oh, you could.
Oh, you. All right.
That would be so much better. Okay. So when you say general discussion, you have to salute for the general?
No.
General discussion. I just saluted.
I didn't.
Pushing down on me, pushing down on you. No man ask what. Do 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 do. Okay.
They got stronger, and the rookies can beat Shelmon.
Oh my God, what? Pixel. Oh my God, Pixel. He jumped on top of the rock band drums.
Pixel. That's what you get.
Pixel, this is bad. This is dangerous. You little brat. There we go, Pixel.
You're crazy. You're crazy. No, you're not going on my shoulder. No, you're tearing my shirt. Pixel.
Pixel. You are a little brat. Sorry. He just tried to jump up on a chair and then fell halfway. You're stupid. Poopitmon.
Poopitmon.
That's how I pronounce poopit.
Ah, see. What do you have to say about Poopitmon?
I can't keep calling him Poopitmon.
Why? I can't.
Makes you laugh too much.
Poop.
It is not as triggering.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing about triggers. Triggers are
wonderful. No! Oh, man.
Also, it's trigger because it's a gun.
Oh, my God. You're fired. Oh, I didn't even mean that. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm fired. I'm gone. I sacked myself.
It's offensive to put in, but
both of you, get out.
Get out? Like, the bullet comes out of a gun?
No.
But I found the one scene where Matt talks about how Dumbledore is gay was really weird.
What?
Just trying to tie it to other incidents of authors corrupting.
Oh, I was actually just thinking of Harry Potter 2 and how she's like, Hermione and Ron shouldn't have gotten together.
Oh, right, I forgot that.
Like, whoa.
I know, she's totally milking this thing now.
Yeah, like every couple of years she's like, oh, by the way, Harry was supposed to be a house elf until...
Man, she pulls so many stunts too.
Yeah,
that's why Hermione liked the house elves so much, because Harry's supposed to be a house elf and they're supposed to get back together. Oh, I just cracked it.
Whatever, Ash and I went to school with Hermione, so
yes, sure the podcast. I'm not gonna keep your bragging about Emma Watson in the podcast.
So I don't care, I had to say it anyway.
What if Emma Watson would like Digimon?
I highly doubt it.
Why? She's a person.
Some people don't like Digimon.
I think she has pretty high literary tastes.
And you're saying you don't?
I don't. It's no.
I totally don't remember Joe there at all. Is Joe even a character? I don't even know.
I will punch you in the face.
Hanging out with Mimi.
There was a line in this arc about, oh right, it was when Kari was possessed and Ty was like, why didn't you take Joe instead?
Oh yeah.
Ha ha ha.